Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Tuesday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Dog Pound. We open our show tonight with very heavy hearts. We had the passing of Roger Mayweather, just 58 years old. So before we start our show, let's... make sure that we honor Roger and the Mayweather family. Our ring bell. Well, as I said, with great sympathies for the Mayweather family, his uncle, his former fiance, and it just goes to show how fragile this world is. Let's start out. Let's see. I'm looking for the champ here. Here he is, himself. Welcome to the Dog Pound.
Hey, what's up, champ? Hey, what's up, though? JK.
So tell us what's going on up there in Detroit, my man. We've seen a banning of crowds of more than 10 or more down here. We do have some gyms open up. What's your present status?
Hold on. You said y'all got gyms open down here?
Yes, we do.
Wow. Yes, we need to come. Well, Detroit, we need to come down there then. Despite the high price of living. No, hey, man, all the gyms down here are closed.
We actually had a fight on Showtime Friday night.
Yes, I saw that. Wasn't nobody in the crowd, so everybody saw that. Wasn't nobody there. That was crazy.
Yeah, they limited the crowd to 70 people. And it was only the family and the officials. But that was the Salida promotion. And since then, we have seen that we have definitely curtailed our crowd.
I can hear you say what again?
I was looking for our first guest. Could you press one, sir? Our first guest tonight is Mr. Ira Stephen Glass. He has been involved with combat sports and actually a lot of different sports venues, boat racing,
JK, you going in and out, babe boy, you going in and out, JK. I can hear you, but then I can't hear you.
Because you have a lot of stuff in your background. You have, wherever you are, there's a lot of interference in your background.
Oh, I can hear you. I can hear perfectly well now.
I know, but I can hear everything in your background also. So, I'm trying to get Mr. Glass on right now. As I said, he's been a part of this Sturgis Fight Festival and our up and coming, we hope, show here in August. So many things have been cut down, and you know, promotions and whatnot have been stopped. What impact has that had on you and your son, K9?
Oh man, that's, you know what, we had to cancel two fights. We were going to go to the Golden Gloves out in Atlanta, so we had to cancel that one because they canceled the fight in Atlanta because of the coronavirus. Then so our plan B, which me, my son, and my other fighter were going to go to Cincinnati, so then they called us and canceled that one. So it was like, man, the USA Boxing canceled all the shows until July, I believe July 31st. So even the Golden Gloves in Detroit is pushed back from April to July the 31st. So, I mean, this coronavirus stuff is like, got everybody on panic. I was just at the market, and man, it looked like the movies, man. You know, like the movies, like, I don't know if you remember the movie where, you know, there was like a panic, you know, and it's crazy, man. I couldn't believe it. Was no like no fish. It was no bread. It was no water. I mean, even the meats were gone. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's really crazy, you know. But I'm not panicking. What it really is doing for me is it's making me work out more. You know, since the gyms are closed, and I was doing a lot of training for other people. Now I'm able to concentrate on me. Then I was missing church, you know, being at the gyms, training even on Sundays. So now I'm able to actually focus on God more. So it's actually helping me out a lot to get back right.
Yeah, a lot of people are using this time to make their connections back with their faith. And yeah. A lot of people are having to meet their family for the first time. We got kids being home. So, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people haven't dealt with their kids in that particular fashion for quite some time.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's a good thing. Look, people should take this time out to actually slow down more. I be telling people all the time, people I be in contact with, especially ones I train, and, you know, like Annette, I be telling them, I be like, got to slow down a little bit, slow down. Because I remember when I went in the United Kingdom and how the whole country in the United Kingdom move a lot slower than we do over in America. So when I had that travel over there, when I fought in the Sugar Ray Leonard Cup, UK versus USA, I noticed how they were a lot slower when it comes to moving. And, like, you know, they weren't moving as fast. And when I came back home, you know, to the United States, it was like, man, it was night and day.
K-9, our first guest, Mr. Iris Stephen Glass, he hasn't slowed down for a few decades.
I appreciate you guys. We're doing good down here over in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a kind of a calm evening, but I appreciate these opportunity to join you guys and chat a bit. I realize and empathize with our struggle as far as events and our fighter concerns. And it's a good point that was brought up about bringing this back to ground zero into the families. It's always a big plus. And it's sad that it has to be under these circumstances. Hopefully we can keep that rolling and make that essential, but it's always hard in our business, seemingly in our sport, to get that kind of motivation going. Hopefully this is something that is a catalyst as we move forward. But as I said here, yeah, we've experienced a bit of discomfort, obviously, a lot of Florida being a pretty significant combat sports state and obviously a boxing capital. we have more boxing here than probably many other states outside of Nevada and maybe New York in its current state. But so we have suffered through a number of shows, including Golden Gloves competition with Lou Martinez's group, and the USA Boxing Group has put a slap down on all that, along with a number of very high quality promotional events that have been canceled due to the gathering circumstance. So we're going to come out of this on the upside when it all shakes down. These promotions will come back, and it has affected and does play a large part in the broadcast realm of all the combat sports, because we were on a significant roll since the pretty much the onset of 2019. We have seen a major upslide in the broadcast schemes of that middle to upper crust promotions that have been getting more and more quality exposure, and of course that's bodes well for what we do, and it's very favorable to what we look for in the future.
Now, I was looking at some of the things that you put on for over the last decade, and it was kind of surprising to me about the evolution of the way that things have been done. I think in your first ads were, I think they were boat racing, and you were showing a lot of outdoors and television and stuff like that. But now we have so much streaming and independent platforms. How has that changed your sense of the sport, filming of the sport, and planning programs such as Sturgis or any other bare knuckle or combat sport that you might plan?
Well, I appreciate you doing that bit of homework, JK. It's very refreshing that you've asked that question. And to my fellow listener and interviewee, I'm a Detroit boy, born and raised.
That's right.
I grew up during the power of the bad boy era. I had a large production company in Troy, which is just outside the Detroit area. We were the production company of record for the Pistons during the bad boys, Chuck Daly and the Pistons, while they were playing in the Silverdome. And so I grew up in that whole genre with Chuck Daly, Sparky Anderson. The Tigers were one of our accounts. We did all of the Metro Detroit Ford dealers. We traveled with the team both in spring training. Those were monumental years, and we all grew up cutting our teeth in that. Prior to that time, I actually lived in Minneapolis for 7 years, where I was part of the most Western sports entity in the country, a group called Northwest Teleproductions, and we covered all of the Vikings and Twins games in Minneapolis. We did international Olympic racing and ski jumping. So I've been in sports programming for near on 35 years. And then I had the biggest fortune of doing a tenure with the man that I think is the number one promoter pretty much of all time, Mr. Don King. And we learned a lot about what it takes to put the art of the presentation together, and to come full circle in giving you a sense of where I belong in the broadcasting is 15 years ago, I promoted the concept of doing things on the internet when it was very infantile. People claimed it would never work. It would never be a force. This whole thing with the cell phones, even 20 years ago, you know, no one really understood the power of the small screen. You had to be representative in terrestrial television, or you weren't going to make it. Well, obviously, that was a misnomer and a falsity by so much of a large degree. So one of my very first events was a show in Salem, Raleigh-Salem, with a great set of promoters. We did a show where it was boxing and MMA on the same floor, virtually the same night, and we streamed it live worldwide, and we had over 50,000 viewers in a platform that was rugged, it was buffering, but I was live talking to people in the Middle East, our army people, our military people, they were calling in live. I mean, this was so very exciting that we were way ahead of the curve. But I couldn't get anyone to recognize its future potential. Turning around 5, 7, 8 years later, it is like, if you're not in that space, you're not in the production business. And from that standpoint, this is what we do. Our group is notorious for sports events, and primarily, since I'm a boxing person, in my blood, combat sports worldwide. We've been everywhere from China, of course, to Dubai 3 times, Kazakhstan 2, South Africa, of course, all through Europe, Central Asia, South America. Pretty much my reputation stems on the fact is that, yeah, we can do shows in Las Vegas or New York or Miami, but everybody in the world has already seen all that. What the world wants to see is our talent in places that they've never seen before. So that's kind of how I cut my teeth.
I hate to interrupt you, but if anybody really wants to look at some of the work that you did, you also, another one of your productions was from Kazakhstan. And I was actually surprised at the way you presented it. I mean, you showed the people, you showed the culture, and it wasn't just all about the fight. That was another piece of yours that I was very impressed with.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that comment. One of the things I pride myself on that, and Mr. King taught us this, but also through my era of with the Tigers and the Pistons and the Red Wings, is there has to be these days, you have to have empower the audience. You have to do backstories. You have to put the emphasis on the message. And that's one of the great things about live streaming these days on my own CDN, which is a content delivery network, is that whomever the promoter is and whomever their sponsors / marketing / venue is it's all about the message, because we understand, and everybody has to understand, that the new generation, the new demographics live fast, they live furious, they live on their phone, they live on their iPads, they live in Instagram, they need to get their information fast and furious. They want it precise. They're hungry for being educated and being entertained. And yes, still, it's all about the participants, and I never want to negate that importance. In fact, what we're doing and what live streaming has to offer is it gives our boxing sport, for example, a vehicle to get more of our talent to be seen by the rest of the world. That's the big key in this. Obviously, for our sport to succeed and to thrive and to go forward, it's the youth, and it's people that, yeah, God love them. We wouldn't be here without the De La Hoyas, the Trinidads, the Tysons, the list. But the mainstay of what our sport is all about is the up-and-comers. We have so much talent across the U.S. domestically and even in North America per se that the rest of the world has never seen. And we don't get to see that, the rest of the world, as much as we should. So it puts us behind the eight ball when it comes to competing. So we want to do something to balance that marketplace. We want to give our fighters a better shot, whether it is in the Golden Gloves, whether it is in USA Boxing, whether it is in amateur competition for the Olympics. we look at the rest of the world in the concept of an Olympic year, is that they already seen the competition around the world, because those other countries are supporting their fighters much differently than we do. We don't give our fighters that ability to expose themselves and to see those other combatants. We need to push for that. We need to get our fighters over there more, and we need to bring their fighters over here more.
I have 2-time world champion Canine Bundage. He's my co-host, and his son takes part in amateur boxing, so I'm sure he might have some questions in that he wants to ask you. Canine, you still there? You have some questions for Iric?
Yeah, Iric, how you doing, buddy? You all right?
Hey, we're doing the best we can. You know, the alternative is not so positive, so we're every day it's just keep one foot in front of the other, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. First off, you know, thank you for coming to the show, coming on the show. And I want to say, you know, I'm happy that you're from where I'm from, Detroit. So you know the history, and you know,
oh, yeah.
Detroit all day. You know, Chuck Daly, one of the best coaches ever. I mean, I don't think he get enough credit for what he did for the Pistons, and especially Dennis Rodman.
Well, remember too. Is, let me inject this. I grew up with the Kronk world. Emmanuel Stewart was you know, even before I knew anything about being a boxing producer, living in Detroit. I mean, I grew up in Motown. My brother has a recording studio still there. We lived the dream all along. The Grand Boulevard, we were down there with the guys all the time. I was always downtown when it wasn't a place to be. I mean, I went to Henry Ford High School. I graduated there on 8 Mile and Southfield. You know, all of the history, the countless players, whether it's Motown, Rock and Roll, Amboy Dukes, you know, the MC5, all the players, that was my history. But yet we traveled, we were downtown all the time. And being around the Kronk, and of course Tommy, one of my closest friends is Jackie Kalin. Jackie and I go back a long ways. Jesse Robinson, all the names that were synonymous when Detroit was the home of champions instead of the place to look for opponents. We just got to change that. And I know there's some people that are working really hard every day. The newcomers and the young blood, so to say, whether you're Quan or your Carlos or whomever, or Eric, doing everything they can. But the key is the exposure, and we have to get those events and their message out there. But yes, K9, I appreciate you recognizing that. Yeah, my home is, my blood is in there. I sweat Tigers. You know, I'm a Motor City boy. I worked at the Dodge plant for a number of summers. I'm an MSU grad. I feel that we've come a long ways, but we still have a ways to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say, like, Emmanuel Stewart, actually, the last time that he was ever saw on TV was with me and on Showtime. You know, I was his actually official last world champion. You know, actually, J.K. met Emmanuel Stewart when I had fought Corey Spinks. Matter of fact, he was there, wasn't you?
Right.
Jay?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm an original Kronk boy, and you know, we just recently had Jackie.
Well,
Kaelin on the show.
I'm honored to talk to you, and I'm honored to be slipped into this circle with you guys. My connection to you guys now through Ernie and Team Certified is new, and we're developing, but it's a solid one, and I'm fortunate and privileged to be able to connect with what you and JK are all about. I mean, this is cool for me. I'm totally privileged and honored. I say this all the time. When I was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and you know, I said, you know, this was not something I would have ever planned. I didn't count on being in the boxing world. I was a, I was directing hockey for the Red Wings and away games for the Tigers, and it was like, you know, I did, as JK said, I did car racing, I did power boating, you know, sports, other sporting events, Olympic stuff, but I never thought I would be connected up with Mr. King. And then, as fate has it, I end up in his corral and in his stable, and then, for, you know, I came on, my first event was Tyson Holyfield 2, the ear biting, and I'm going, whoa, you know, this is pretty cool. And ever from then, we spent some great years in there. I learned a lot, but I'm always open to learn more. It's ever changing, and I respect everything you guys are doing, and we're going to do great things as we move forward every day.
Yeah, we got a lot of history together, because I mean, just think about it. Like, you know, we got a lot in common. I would say Don King. I actually was promoted by Don King when I beat Corey Spinks. So he promoted a fight with me and Corey Spinks fought. So he promoted me when I fought against Corey Spinks in a rematch, and when I fought against the Crew Powell. So we got a lot of history together, me and you, actually, and we both from Detroit. So really, it's definitely an honor to talk to you.
There you go. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you have a series of names in your corral, in your Rolodex, that you can reach back and remember. I mean, when I first started with DK in 97, it was, the names were like Sean Bay Mitchell, Randall Bailey, all these were the up-and-comers. And who knew? I mean, we had, you know, we had the likes of a number of heavyweights that were up-and-comers. And it was very exciting as far as I knew. I mean, you know, it was a post-Tyson era, but they were still living the dream, and things were motoring along. You know, things are not that way any longer, and it has its pluses and minuses. So what we have to do is we have to respect the past, but embrace the future and learn from what has happened in the past when
absolutely.
There's new blood.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were team certified?
Say that again?
I said, are you a part of team certified?
Yes, I am. I've come on to with Ernie in the last 30 days. You know, I'm taking responsibility for what he deems as obviously this historical event in Sturgis. It will be a first time. I'm sure JK knows a lot about that, as probably more than I might know. I've been tasked with the quest to put this into a worldwide exposure position, and we're going to make this an event that meets and exceeds the quality that is already world renowned by this whole rally. I mean, this isn't something that you can do half ass, mind my French. This has to be first boat, because a lot of people are going to expect it, even in the post broadcast scheme. People are going to look at this and say, you know, if it doesn't meet up to these expectations, it's going to be very disappointing.
All right, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and it turned out, too, that fight is like, what, it's in August now, right?
Well, holding true, it's right now it's August 8th.
Yeah,
we'll
see
what
happens. Yeah, at first when it was mentioned that it'd be August the 8th, it was like, man, that's going to be a minute from now. But guess what? With all this corona stuff going on, it's the perfect time. It's the perfect time.
Won't be fights
until August anyway.
Yes, we could come out of this, you know, as a first run, a first exposure position. It's probably adds more pressure to Ernie and the team certified group. To, you know, more emphasis on that, hoping that they will be undoubtedly step up to the challenge, because what I've learned over the years, and I share this with all the promoters that cross my path and call me all the time, is that no television exposure, it doesn't matter who it is or what caliber, is never going to save a bad promotion. The promotion has to be there. The talent has to be there. The matchmaking has to be there. And these days, the marketing and the social media have to be there. You have to embrace that because it's just what the demographics and what our audience expects.
Absolutely. I've been talking here. Yeah. I've been in contact with M. Tally. So I might be fighting on the show myself. Me and M. Tally has been talking about getting on the show and doing something. So, yeah, keep that in mind.
Wow, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mr. Glass, I know you had a very limited time, so we're going to let you go. But before we let you go, why don't you give us your final thoughts? We want to get you back on the show as things progress. And, give us a preview of what's going on with Sturgis and Adversary Sports and Promotions.
Well, let me say this, JK. I appreciate this opportunity once again. I'm always here for you and for your listeners and for our roundtable discussions. Anytime Ernie needs me or we can parallel up. Yeah, towards the end of April, God willing, if we can lift some of the travel ban, we are going to Sturgis to meet with the organizers. After 80 years, they are the largest, obviously, grouping of motorcyclists enthusiasts assembled in one place. And to put boxing on the entertainment agenda is a big thrill. It's an honor and it's a huge responsibility. We're going to take that responsibility and deliver a great show and to deliver a lot of storyline, the making of, the whole historical aspect of how this union comes together, what it means to the boxing community to be in Sturgis and to be in front of this kind of a crowd. It's a different kind of crowd, and we have to respect that, both in the promotion and the way it looks, to the performance of our talented fighters and to what we do after the fact, because I don't want to leave there. You know, I don't want to pull up stakes that night. This is going to be too exciting. We are hoping that this goes forward for not only for years to come, but throughout the next 365 days leading up to 2021, God will be good to us. We will excite the people in Sturgis enough so that they want to have us in again or come up with another promotion that keeps this union going. Because I told them when I met with them in Daytona Beach this last week that my thoughts were that this is a union that needs to be cultivated. Boxing is something that needs to be in the viewer's mind as often as we possibly can. So that's my quest. Our status is exciting. We're hoping to have boots on the ground in the next 30-35 days, see what the venue looks like. They have promised us that it, you know, for us it's carte blanche on what they can do for us there. They have no idea what to expect from this kind of an event. They do concerts and they do motorcycle burning, but you think that this isn't the typical, this isn't your Hell's Angels style approach. And with all respect, there's nothing wrong with that group, but this is a culture that expands across all of the framework of which boxing fits in perfectly. And we hope that this is something we can succeed and do ourselves justice on. Because a lot of people are going to be watching.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Glass. Might be familiar.
Hey, JK, always call me Ira. No, yeah, it's, you know.
Okay, Ira. Thank you so much. As I was saying, you might be familiar with Mr. Duffy. He's the president of the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame. He's our next guest. Mr. Duffy, are you there?
Uh,
Thank you so much, Alex. And I'll be glad to get back with you. Mr. Dusty.
Yep, God bless you. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Is this Mr. Duffy?
Yes, it is, sir. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. K-9, before I tell you who Mr. Duffy is, I actually got a memo today from a very good friend of ours, and that was Mr. Bob Clear. And I just want you and our listeners to hear this resume and just to know that these are the type of people that actually come on our show.
Hey, hold on. Hey, JK, can I say one thing before we say this? You know, we might end up having to give a 10 count because I just got breaking news that the great Roger Mayweather has just passed.
We've already done that, K-9. Before you got on the show, we had the ring bell count. You were a little late there.
All right. I was a little offbeat. Still sad. Man. All right. Go ahead, though, JK.
As I was saying, this is Mr. Robert Bob Duffy. He is the president. K-9, I want you to listen. The New York State Hall of Fame president. He was also the former president of Ring 8. So Mr. Duffy has been doing great things in the world of boxing from way back, at least probably before your time and right along my time. You're having the 2020 class. Well, it was supposed to be April 19th. Mr. Duffy,
that's correct.
How have things been impacted on your end with all of the cancellations?
We're looking at September right now. You know, I'm confirming a date within a day or two. And we're looking to go in September because, you know, we have a lot of people that come to this event. And with the situation going on today, it makes people a lot easier knowing that they got a few more months, you know.
Okay.
I'm honorees, you know. They were looking forward to the 19th, but, you know, with the situation it is, they're more than happy to hold off until September, you know.
Now, you were also a past New York State boxing commissioner and a promoter.
My career started like in 88 when I came on as an inspector for New York State. And then when Floyd Patterson became the chairman, he made me a commissioner. And I worked for Floyd Patterson up until 2000. And then after that, I had a fallout with the governor, and Floyd Patterson left. As soon as he left, I left. And then I started promoting fighters. In fact, K-9, you beat one of my guys, Chris Smith, you know, on ESPN. When you fought in Tacoma, Washington, when you guys fought, Chris Smith was one of my fighters.
Wow. Hey,
yeah.
And you know what?
And yeah,
that was one of my toughest.
There's a little bloodless there between you and I, you know? You beat Chris Smith, you know? But that was a close fight. And then after that, I promoted, and then I got involved with other things, you know? And, you know, and with this Hall of Fame, though, just to give you, it's just a way, basically, of saying thank you to the New Yorkers and for the guys that give 20 years of their life, 25 years of their life into the sport. And when the time is over, I want them to be known that they were appreciated by the memorabilia of the fans of New York, you know?
Absolutely, yes.
And this is what we do. And Jose Torres' son, the former chairman, light heavyweight champion, he said it best. 3 years ago when we honored Jose Torres. Now, his father's been dead maybe 10 years. And he said, you know, Duffy, this was so nice because it got my family together for one day to think about my father again, you know, who's passed on. So I think it's a very nice thing. And everybody seems to enjoy it. We get 400 people last year on a success, you know, and everybody walks away happy. And the money goes to a 501c3. So it's a charity, and the money goes back into the boxing community, into the amateur program, into professional boxing, and that's what we do with it. It's working out well. Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
Gonna say, you're also former president of Ring 8. So
I was president for 11 years of Ring 8. And, you know, and I stepped down about 3 years ago because I wanted to concern my efforts with the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, because you can't have your hands in too many things or do too many things because you wear yourself thin, you know. So I felt like the Hall of Fame, I wanted to devote more attention, and which I did. And but I'm still on the board of directors for Ring 8. You know, I'm just not the president. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
Yeah, you got a lot of knowledge, man. Appreciate the knowledge. Where's
well,
Chris Smith
you know, it's all out of love, sir. But let me tell you, you know, you love the people in the sport, and you know, everybody's nice. And I had some great people that I worked for. I have some great people that I was associated with. And, you know, and you know what I find truthfully about 95% of all these boxers and trainers and corner men, they're all great guys.
Absolutely.
They're all great guys, you know, and when you see two fighters after a 10-round grueling match, and the first thing they do is hug each other, that itself explains why this sport is so terrific in a lot of ways that people don't see.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So
yeah.
You're not promoting anymore?
No, I'm an old man now. I'm turning 71, so I stopped promoting about 5-6 years ago. And
okay.
I know you got my friend there, Demetrius Salida, doing things in Detroit.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I actually does do a few videos for him, too.
Really? Good man. I know
yeah.
Demetrius. Well, you know, we go back with Demetrius when he just turned pro. He was going to college. It was Ring 8. We gave him a $500 scholarship back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't forget
world.
Things. Yeah. So he was going to, I think it was Brooklyn College, and we normally gave $1,000 to $500 scholarships for Ring 8, and he was one of our recipients, Demetri.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Recipient. Okay. From Ring 8. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
About your relationship, you, Ring 8, and Mr. Harold Letterman.
Harold was, let me tell you, if there was the biggest fan in boxing, it was Harold Letterman. I don't think there was anybody in this sport, whether you're professional, amateur, or trainer and all, but Harold Letterman was the premier boxing fan. He went to every event. He loved every event. Whether it was the biggest show in the Garden or whether it was like just a local show in Yonkers, he loved going to the shows. And to me, Harold Letterman was the epitome of what a real boxing fan is all about.
You know, and you know what? You're absolutely right. I remember fighting over in Germany, and I was like one of the first bouts that came on. Riddick Bowe fought on the undercard. Klitschko had fought on the undercard. I think Klitschko fought against. He fought a heavyweight. I can't remember exactly who the heavyweight he fought. But anyway, to make a long story short, man, Letterman was so happy that knocked that Russian out with the right hand. He was every time he saw me, he was K-9. That right hand, K-9. That right hand.
K-9. Yeah. Well, Harold knew. He knew everything. I bet you would be more shocked that he knew more about you than you probably did.
Yeah, you know what?
No, but when he becomes a fan of somebody, he never forgets, and he's always your biggest fan in the corner, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's always
happy
for the guys. He really is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And my manager at the time was Emmanuel Stewart, so I'm quite sure Emmanuel told him a whole lot about me. Yeah,
and
Harold
Emmanuel
Letterman,
Stewart,
man.
Now, we gave him Trainer of the Year Award about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. They bring eight. And he loved the glove that we gave him so much so that when he flew to Detroit after the awards dinner in Queens, he carried the award on him because he was so happy. He never seen it. It was a brass glove we gave him.
Oh, wow.
And when he was flying back to Detroit, because Kennedy Airport was only 10 minutes from where our venue was for the dinner, he carried that on the plane, and he says he impressed everybody with it. It was a big brass glove, and they said Emmanuel Stewart, Trainer of the Year, Ring 8 Trainer of the Year. Yeah, he was a loved guy, a beloved guy, man.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
But, But you seem like everything's going great for you. You got your own show now, and things are going good. I mean, 2-time world champion. I mean, life is great, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. Hey, actually, hanging in there, hanging in there. You know, I'm thinking about getting back in there, man. Me and James, we got a fight coming up.
You know, you can only, you do what you can do. I mean, you know what it is. You got to live with the feeling that, you know, it's something. If you got to do it, you got to do it. Got to do it. You know, you got to do it. Maybe people won't agree with you. Maybe they will agree with you. But at the end of the day, it's what's in your gut that's making you going to do what you got to do. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to have no regrets of saying, man, I had a last run. I could have did it, but I didn't do it. And when it's time, when it's too late, it's too late. So, but if it's still
you
there,
know.
It's still there. Yeah.
You know, there was an old saying, you know, and it was a bit, maybe not the correct thing, but when Don King was promoting Ali, you know, everybody was saying that Ali should retire. And Don King said it best. He said, who am I to tell him to retire? You know?
Yeah.
It's not to make a point is the fact that when you're good in what you're doing, it's hard for somebody on the outside to tell you what to do.
That's true. Yeah,
I got to ask you a couple things here because
sure.
To me, it seems like there has been a decline, and when New York City declines, it seems like everybody declines with it.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about the way, you know, this year, well, actually this year we probably won't have one, but there's been a threat to the New York Golden Gloves boxing tournament. We don't have as many organizations like, you know, back in the day, the Police Athletic League, some of the missions around the boroughs
right.
around New York. What can you tell us first about, you know, the decline of amateur boxing in New York as far as sponsorship to venues, and talk a little bit about women's boxing and how it's grown.
Well, you know, to get back on why boxing is slowed down in New York, you know, and this is only my point of view, which, you know, could mean anything. I promoted for 7 years, you know, after I left the commission, and I did shows around the world. I was very fortunate. But you know what? The commission now made it very difficult. And, you know, and rightly so, maybe, depending how you want to look at it. But the medicals are so expensive now to do in New York. And the insurance to carry your show is so expensive. So if a local promoter wants to do a show, he can't do it because it costs too much money. So you only have, like, maybe Lou DiBello and Joe DiGuardia. They're the only two small operators in the – and they're not small, but they're the only two that could really afford – to do anything in New York State. Because the insurance, just for the show itself, it costs a lot of money. And then what happens, without these guys doing pro shows, these amateurs that win the Grandmasters or these other tournaments as amateurs, they can't move on because there's nobody to put them on. You know what I'm saying? Nobody can put them on because you're doing a professional show and you get a kid who just won, say, the Grandmasters. That's taking over the Golden Gloves. He wants to turn pro, but the guy who's doing the shows is only maybe doing 2 shows a year. And you got these 20, 30 kids that want to turn pro, and there's no place for them to go, so they go to Pennsylvania, and I hate saying it this way, they become the opponent. You know, it's a vicious cycle.
Do you find that same thing in Detroit, K-9?
You know what? Are you talking about far as like throwing the shows and stuff?
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, it's very expensive to do a show in New York because you got to pay for a higher premium on insurance, and you also got to get these extra tests. And of course, the promoter, like an extra $9,000-$10,000 just to do a show on top of what it does cost.
No, you know what? Over here in Detroit, I mean, you know, a lot of the promoters nowadays, to be honest with you, they have these fighters sell tickets. So I guess in selling tickets, you know, they actually pay for their own purse. and they're paying for the opponent's purse too. So, you know,
that,
it's a,
that's
it's a lot
you
different.
Do that. You know, I mean, I had guys sell their tickets too. But at the end of the day, you know, you can pay for somebody's purse, but then you still got to pay for the venue. You still got to pay for the ring. You still got to pay the officials. You still got to pay the state tax. So even if you get guys that are going against each other and they pay for their purse, it's still costing you money on top of
but
you know, and then you have your insurance on top of that.
Yeah, but you know that the promoters is here. A lot of these promoters is here. They probably worked out something with the, like, for instance, like the casino, like Carlos, who promotes the fights downtown Detroit at Motor City Casino. He has a deal with them, so he get the whole venue for free. So then he get, and then he got sponsors. So he, you know, he's winning when it comes to that. And
he's very fortunate, but you're not going to get too many things in New York for free. Yeah.
Oh no, we talking about New York. It's a totally different. I mean, if you Jay Z, you good.
It's tough here, and it's sad for the amateurs because they have an excellent amateur program in New York, and they don't have the Golden Glove, but they call it the Grand Masters, and they have several other tournaments that go on. And the unfortunate thing is that these kids that want to move on into a pro ranking find it very difficult because there's nobody really doing local shows. It's just too expensive.
Yeah.
Now,
that's crazy.
Isn't Bob, didn't you guys honor Bob Gleason from Gleason's Gym too?
Bobby Gleason's being honored this year. He was the original. His daughter lives only about 10 minutes from me, Bernadette Savarese. But Bobby Gleason owned it up in the Bronx. And then it went to the Silvergoids. But he's being honored. And, the original thing with the New York State is for the first 10 years, we were just trying to get people from the state of New York. Not New York City, but from the state. And then in the 11th and 12th year, we're going to open it up to New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. You know, but we just want to get the foundation with the New York fighters, you know, like Ray Robinson, Jake LaMotta, Riddick Bowe, Mike Tyson, you know, Eddie Mustafa. We have some great guys in the Hall of Fame. Ron LaPorte, Iran Barkley. The names are endless. And we got them in because it wouldn't be a real good hall, a true Hall of Fame if we didn't start with these strong candidates, you know. You've had Jake LaMotta came in, Rocky Graziano's wife. It started off and everybody loves it and every year it gets bigger. But Bobby Gleason is one of this year's honorees, and his whole family's coming, and it's a time to reflect on their grandfather, and that's what makes it nice.
Yeah, I definitely want to come around. I want to come down there myself.
I'm going to tell you, anytime you guys come, I mean, the door's open for I even have somebody pick you up at the airport, you know?
Okay.
Really. You know, guys like yourself coming, man, you know, that door always got to be open. We have, we normally have our people that are involved with us, like Ronaldo Snipes and Junior Jones and Mark Breland. They always come, you know, and Vito went to Fermo. But we always have a contingent of great guys that come to every event.
You know what? Ronaldo Snipes, I'm glad you brought
That would even put icing on the cake.
Yeah. Now, Ronaldo Snipes, I remember that guy. So you got to really know boxing, JK, if you remember Ronaldo Snipes. You remember Ronaldo Snipes, JK?
I remember Ronaldo Snipes. I'm surprised that you did.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Chicago.
Yeah, he dropped Larry Holmes or gave Larry Holmes a good fight at first.
He dropped Larry Holmes, then he got his hand cut, you know, but I see Ronaldo on a basis maybe once a month.
Yeah. Well, you gotta tell him K-Man's a big fan of his. I remember him when I was younger.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Still a great guy. Still a great guy.
We know Vince Hudson, Mr. Duffy. He does a lot of things with the Chicago Boxing Hall of Fame and reunions, just like John Scully is on our show on Sunday.
John Scully, he's from the Northeast here.
Yeah. So, yeah, we, you know, I mean, like I said, the pulse of the boxing world has always been in New York. You know, regardless of what Nevada might say, you know, like I said, I remember the Golden Gloves. It used to be something that was televised.
I grew up
in New Jersey, so you know it was televised over there. We got to watch all of those, all the greats from down there in Madison Square Garden. K9, anything else you'd like to share with Mr. Duffy? You know, we might have you up there, you know, in New York, giving an introduction of some of those great New York fighters.
You know, K9 is the door will always be open. You know, it is. It's about the camaraderie of the sport. It doesn't matter if you became the champion, or it doesn't matter if you were just a contender. You know, we want to make sure that everybody that's involved in the sport is remembered for at least being in the sport.
Yes. I mean, you could actually put me down there. I would love to come down there, man, and, you know, present a trophy or a medal or award to someone down there.
You know, not a problem. We normally have a nice dinner. There's a brunch, and then there's a dinner following with an open bar. And like I said, we get over 400 people, and I can assure you, it's like the Little Rascals. You can pay as you go, but you would be my guest.
Good. Okay, sounds good. You need JK, can you actually give me his number? I want to ask you too, Mr. Ducky. Ms. Duffy, do you have that footage of when I fought your fighter, Chris Smith?
No, that was on ESPN. I added, and you know, I mean, I didn't go. I was supposed to go, but you were fighting in Seattle, at Tacoma, Washington. You know,
yeah. So
I made a deal with Chris because we made the fight, and I said, well, I gave Chris a little bit more money. I said, you know, because he had somebody out there that was going to work his corner. I said, all right, you know what, I'm not gonna. I gave him the extra money, but there was a big fight. If he won that fight, we would have been where, you know. And but he lost, and it is what it is, you know.
So you
I remember that fight. I made that fight when I was in Gleason.
Yeah. So you can't get the DVD to that then, huh?
You know what? I could take a look because there's a guy in New York here named Bella, and he has all these old fights. Now your fight with Chris is on ESPN.
Yes.
You know what? Might be able to get it for you.
Please.
Able to get it for you. I would definitely try.
Yeah, try. JK, can you please give my information?
Yes, I will, K9.
Okay, and Mr. W, is it okay if Mr. JK send your information to me?
No problem at all. Whatever I can do to help, no problem at all. Listen, this is why we love the sport, you know.
Yeah.
It's a camaraderie, like I said before.
Absolutely.
I just hope I can get it. Yeah, if you go on YouTube, you might be able to find it.
No. I did go on YouTube, but it's not the whole fight. It's just like, it's just maybe around here.
Well, if you watch it on YouTube, maybe my guy won.
JK, you should have saw the last round. The last round, he didn't know what happened. I hit him with that uppercut. And then I turned him with that hook.
That's right.
He
lost the fight. It was a close fight, but that last round was your big round.
Yeah, it was my big round. That's what did it. Whoever won the round, last round, won the fight. And
that
boy,
was it,
oh boy.
Because it was a split decision. I know. I remember watching the fight. I mean, it's how many years ago. But, you know, it's like, listen, if he wins, I'm in good shape here. But, you know, like everything else, like, he didn't win. You did.
Hey, let me tell you something. That was the hardest fight I had. That guy, he was a little bit more experienced than me. He was way more experienced than me. He was tougher than I could imagine. And they had me weigh in the same day of the fight. So that I wasn't able to rehydrate or nothing.
Wow. You know, and let me tell you about Chris personally. I mean, nicest kid in the world, man.
Yeah.
He's such a nice kid, you know. He really was a nice kid. And that's what I keep saying about the camaraderie. He was such a wonderful kid, you know.
And
after that fight, you, like, sprung, man. You got the title fights and everything, man.
Yeah, right. Oh, man, yeah, absolutely.
And then before another guy I knew very well, Shaquille Powell. Another guy from New York.
Yeah. I got him back. Yeah, he got
him back. And even you got Yuri Foreman, I think, another New Yorker. Yeah, so you had a reputation of kill, like New York killer, man.
Right, right. Oh, man. It's all good. At the end, like you said,
it
at the
is
end,
all
though,
good. It is
we
all
hug,
good.
We hug. At the end, we hug. We hug each other at the end because it's all business. Nothing personal. Well, thank you for coming on tonight, man. We definitely appreciate you. You ain't got no social media, nothing that you want to say, leave to the audience.
Well, you know, as we just have a website, New York State, you know, Boxing Hall of Fame, and we just opened it up. We just started it about 2 months ago. But, you know, I mean, we have press releases that Bob Trieger sends everything out, you know. And that's how we find a lot of our people, through the press releases, because over the years, people do separate from the sport. Like Tommy Muriello, he was a guy who fought Joe Louis. We found his son and nephew. They live in Chicago. And it's all because of social media. We send out the press releases. You know, and they're going to try to make it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I definitely look forward to, you know, connecting with you, man, and coming down there.
No problem at all. I mean, if you want, I can give you my email address when we get off the phone. Or, you know, I can give it to you over the phone. I don't really care. You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let me see if I can
I'll send it all to you, K9. I'll text you after the show's over.
Okay.
Email to Mr. Duffy.
Yeah, we'll get this resolved. Not a problem at all. Yeah, I'm available for anything you guys need or want, and I'll do my best to find the fight.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. JK, you can probably go down there too with us in New York, JK.
Hey, most definitely, man. You know, hey.
Okay.
I'll take you to Miami. You can bring me to New York. How's that?
Hey, sounds good. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully things do happen. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Okay. Have a good night.
Guys, I want to thank you very much for the opportunity, man. You treated me great, and I want to thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome, brother.
All right. Take good care.
I want a last round.
Only in the eyes of the judges.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah, but, all right, my friend. Take good care of yourself, all right?
Okay, buddy. All right. Appreciate you.
Take care, man. All right.
Hey, JK, that was a tough fight, man. That's why I want him to send me that fight. I put that fight on my YouTube. And that guy bust me up, boy. Hey, we bust each other up. That boy, man, he had both my eyes swole, man. That was the toughest fight. After that fight, I called myself the Black Rocky. I did not give up. But
look here, K9, I think we got somebody that you might know. They've been trying to get in here for a while, but we got to talking. But I think is this Mr. Tyson? Who is this on here? Who's
it might be Matt.
Detroit?
It might be Matt.
Matt.
Oh, y'all got me on here?
Yeah, we got you on.
That's Mac again.
Oh, man.
This is Mac. What's up, Mac? Man,
look,
long time no talk. I just talked to you earlier.
Yeah, man. I was just trying to listen to the show. I wasn't trying to get on.
Hey, you know, JK thought, when they say 313, he think about Tyson. He think about my man's Tyson.
I got you.
Yeah. Tim. That's Tim.
He pressed the number one because I got a little question mark up there, so I thought he wanted to talk. So anyway.
Hey, no, but Mac was on the show last time. Mac, you better promote your dinners and everything, man, and your shirts, your K9 shirts. Let them know where they can get them.
Hey, the coronavirus just got us, man. We just had an event scheduled for March. We had to push it back now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had a free testing over here. We was going to get people some food out to test the product out, but we got to push it back now.
Okay.
Yeah. The Boxing Expo is supposed to be coming on Cinco de Mayo, May. was May 2nd, May 3rd. One of them when Canelo's supposed to be fighting, so we don't know if we're going to have that fight either. That's you know, they just closed the strip today, I believe it was.
Oh yeah, that's over with. That's over with. I even heard they pushing the fight back between him and Saunders. And then I heard, I don't know if you know about that, but he's supposed to be fighting against Triple G now too.
Yeah, I just called Jonathan Banks today. I wanted to try to get him on the show next week. As soon as I heard that announcement, Triple G, Canelo 3. I think like I said, you know, right now they're talking about the end of April, but, you know, that the Boxing Expo is from from April 30th until May 2nd. So, you know, that's a big event in Las Vegas. Scully gives his reunion at the same time. So, you know, we don't know the repercussions yet.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, listen, that's crazy. But I see these Detroit trainers, boy, these Detroit boys getting all this money on the other side of the boxing game. I'm trying to get some of that money on the other side of the boxing game, too. We got Sugar Hill training Tyson Fury out of Crunk Gym, and we got Jonathan Banks coming out of the Crunk Gym training Triple G. So now we got to figure out who K-9 going to train. Hey, Wilder.
That's right.
Hey, Wilder, where you at? Deontay. Somebody. Devin Haney. Oh, man. But, you know, it's all good. We got little K-9 coming up. You know what I'm saying? We got Mac. Mac about to get in there. Forget it. Annette, we got somebody. Somebody got to go out there and do something to one of these girls or one of these guys. You got to get this bread, boy, on the other side. Oh, I'm going to have to get back in there. That's what I'm going to have to do. That's why, you know what? Me and Mac, we go, hey, listen. Hey, JK, me and Mac going to go run about 4 or 5 miles this weekend. We already have a plan. This Saturday, we're going up to Rouge Park. We're going to run, hit 4 or 5 miles. So on a road to, you know, to the third world title.
Let's do it. We own it.
And JK, seriously, real talk, though, JK, too. I did talk to the IBF, though, seriously. And he told me, he said, we know we support you, K-9, whatever you want to do. So basically, all I got to do is get back in the game and get a couple of fights, and I get rated real quick. They love me over in IBF. So, you know, I never disrespected them. I never, you know, you got some guys, like, I ain't going to say no names, but they, you know what I mean, they got in a bunch of trouble messing with them women, and, you know, had to get sent overseas. So when you get, you know what I mean, and they was represented by the IBF. So when I went over there and took the IBF title back, they were so happy, man. They came in and just was, man, they were so happy to put that belt around my back, around my waist. Oh, man. So, you know, I'm looking to get the IBF back, man. You see how the belt keep on going from one hand to another, the junior middleweight division? Come on, guys. Tell me, which division is the hottest division, though? Mac, JK, what is the hottest division in boxing? Be honest.
It's always the same. People love the heavyweights and the middleweights. It's always the same.
Yeah. JK?
Yeah, but hey, hasn't changed. You know, but the only thing that you might see is, you know, you might see, you know, a couple of those little guys get the fame. But by and large, you know, hey, I don't care who Lomachenko is. If you got, you know, one of them, a middleweight or a junior middleweight in there, you know, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. Yeah.
I agree. The heavyweight division is the most exciting for us, like a one-punch knockout. But to me, the best division in boxing where, you know, anybody can win and lose at any given time and belt can go from one hand to another at any given time, and it's been happening like that, is the junior middleweight division. Look how Tony Harrison won the title. Then Charlo got the title back. Then Julian Williams won the title. Then Julian Williams lost the title. Hurd had won the title. Then Hurd lost the title. I mean, that belt go from one hand to another. That mug is a hot potato.
Yeah, you're right about that one.
Yeah, that junior middleweight division, man. I'm telling you, it's wide open.
K-9. you know, just looking at the future of boxing, and you know, this is something that you know you've done all your life. Now with this coronavirus, you know, we're already talking about, this is just March, and we're already talking about canceling things at least for the next 2 weeks, some cases 2 months, some cases 6 months. Some sports have called their seasons off altogether. How much, when you're talking about an individual sport like boxing, how much of an impact is this on a sport that depends upon spectators, and you can't no longer, I mean, you know, it was hard enough before putting butts in seats. What do you think it's going to be like after this is over? Do you think people are still going to, you know, crowds, you know, there's going to be crowds, or, you know, I remember one time it used to take you 5 minutes to shake hands. Now you just want to touch elbows. But anyway, I mean, you know, what do you think?
Hey, you know what? I just think that everybody going to be trying to get on their feet, first of all. You know, everybody going to be trying to get on their feet because the economy going to take a big hit. I mean, people are not being able to work. I mean, you know, I talked to Matt earlier, and they were talking about some, this Friday, they're going to start closing the gas stations. So now we're going to do, ride our bikes to where we're going? People are going to be trying to gas up, you know? It's going to be crazy if that happens. I mean, this stuff is bigger than what people can think, man. They can imagine. And then I'm just turning my TV off. I don't even want to hear the news, you know what I mean? Because the more people hear the news, the worse it's going to get. And it seems like the economy play on that. The government play on that. Oh, yeah, they panicking. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the people that's rich, they good. They ain't worried about nothing. Or people that done retired, like JK, you good. You know what I'm saying? But the people that depend on boxing, they depend on going to work, they depend on a casino job, they are the one that's affected.
I still got to buy toilet paper. What you talking about?
I mean, but you... But listen, you ain't got to buy one with that much. You don't eat as much as you used to. You know what I'm saying? You get full and go to sleep. And it's just you. It ain't you, your kids, or your family and all that. It's, no, you know, it's just probably just you now. You and whoever else. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a little roach here and there. A little mice, I don't know.
Yeah, but ain't nobody trying to give back. Everybody trying to hold it for themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, Max said it earlier, man. People got buggies, and they got everything is filled. The toilet tissue filled up, huh, Matt?
Yes, I saw a woman filled all the way up to the top. You couldn't even see the woman's head.
so they taking extra. So, I mean, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? I'm not gonna panic. Hey, listen.
We actually have a ration on how many rolls of toilet paper you could buy. You know, like if you go to Ralph's or a store, you can't buy more than, you know, three, you know, I guess a 6-pack or a 12-pack. You can't buy more than three at a time. But, you know, there were people out here that was, you know, buying, just like, hey, you can't see them. You know, they all, you know, that. You know, I mean, I don't quite understand. You know, you're gonna live till you die anyway. So, you know, what you gonna do? So, but that, you know, that.
Man, hey, so where did this stuff come from anyway? They said it came from people eating bats. So did it come from the people over there, Chinese people or Japan eating bats? Did it really come from that?
Well, they say that from you know, depending upon whose story you want to believe, it originated in bats, and it jumped over to a different species, supposedly by people deciding that they wanted to put a bat in their bowl of soup or make a bowl of soup out of a bat or whatever it was, you know. You know, when you've been to different countries, you do find out that, you know, that there are people that eat different things. I mean, you know, that in Vietnam they ate different types of food, and you know, I'm sure you go to different parts of South America and even Mexico. But you know, that it doesn't matter. The thing that bothers me most is, why did you have to have a pandemic for somebody to tell you to wash your hands? I mean, you should have been washing your hands last year, the year before that. You should have been teaching it to
Kids.
That's kind of stupid to me. The world is shut down because people are too nasty to wash their damn hands. That don't make sense to me.
All right.
I'm just an old man ranting, you know. Hey. Yeah. But just think, you know, like you got restaurants, all that, you know, that are shut down now. Well, those people are supposed to wash their hands by law. You know. So hey.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And
I understand.
K-9, you know, like they're talking about, you know, like I said, now, my friend, she went to a physical therapist day before yesterday. And I would think that, you know, even though, you know, it's a doctor, I mean, they tell you that they don't want you to go to hospitals and things like that. But if you're going to a chiropractor or you know, somebody or even an acupuncturist or something, I mean, that's somebody that's definitely close to you than 6 feet. In some cases, they might be doing some type of manipulations, which means that they're putting their hands on you. So, I mean, you know, where do you draw the line between what's good for your health and, you know, what they say, quality of life? I went to the store today just to get some nonsense and some things from my rabbit and whatnot. And they were only letting 25 people in at a time every 50 minutes.
25? Man, you should have told you. Y'all got it good because they only let 10 of us. It can't even be 10 people where we go now. So 25 is like, man, y'all a double plus five in your city.
Well, you know, this is, you know, a big, you know, Rouse or Kroger. So, I mean, you know, it's quite a big building. You could probably, 25 people, you wouldn't necessarily have to come within 6 feet of each other. But it's amazing some of the things that were gone. Like I say, you know, like toilet paper, like, you know, canned goods, soups and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it almost looked like, you probably don't remember it, K-9. I know you're a lot younger than I am, but, you know, we used to have the little fire, the little drills in school where, you know, everybody had to go down to the basement and stuff like that. And your parents, you know, stored canned goods and stuff. I feel like I'm 12 again. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Right. Hey, listen, JK, hey, Mac, I was watching on YouTube maybe about 5 days ago. I saw a Chinese lady, and she was coughing on an elevator button. I couldn't believe it. She was coughing like she had that virus, and she was coughing on an elevator button. So when people came in and touched the button, they would actually end up catching it because if they touched their face or whatever, they would end up having it. She was voluntarily coughing on the buttons. I couldn't believe it. I showed my wife. Then another guy came on there, and he was from over there. He was Japanese or Japan or Chinese or whatever, and he was coughing on the buttons too. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Well, Craig, you know, it's amazing in this day and age, 2020, where the whole world can be shut down like this. But K-9. Since it's you and your son, do you still, you know, maintain a training regimen? Do you guys still run? I mean, how has it impacted your life, you know, as a father and as a trainer?
Oh, you know what? I mean, in his case, he actually got it real, real, real good, especially when it comes to, like, me being his dad and his trainer, because he don't miss a beat. You know, we still training. We're still giving him pad work. He can still go outside and run. And then we got a sauna at the house. so he can get in the sauna. So he actually, he really ahead of the game when it comes to the other fighters, other guys that he's competing against. They don't have that same, you know, unless they got a daddy that's training them, they don't have that. Because they can't go to the gym because the gyms are closed. So he really actually, he has a chance to, you know, school being out, because that's what's really kind of like holding him back a little bit, because once he leaves school, he's too tired to really work out the way I want him to. So now that school is out, he actually is really getting ahead. It's actually better for him now in boxing than it ever was. He's able to actually catch up with the competition if there's any that's ahead of him. And he actually can surpass them right now. It's the perfect time.
Have you heard anything about any type of additional testing? I mean, you know, as Ira and Bob both brought up, you know, Bob especially talking about, you know, medical costs in New York and places like that, probably also in Nevada. Have you guys heard anything, you know, that any type of new testing that's going to be out for the amateurs or the pros as of yet?
No, I haven't. We haven't heard anything yet. You know, I mean, people are still panicking right now. So I guess once the panic, you know, goes down and, you know, everything is like, you know, back in order, I guess we'll start hearing things then. It'll be a sign of relief. A little extra, I guess the sun will come out at the same time when this start here blows away. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything yet. You know, this is still fresh and, you know, I think it's only going to get worse right now. I think it's going to actually get worse because it went from, you know, for, you know, 10 people to closing everything to now even talking about the gas stations closing. I mean, it seems like it's getting worse.
Well,
it could have been worse than that, though. Think about this, guys. It could have happened and right when winter had just started, and we could be going through this stuff in the wintertime. At least it's about to be hot outside. You can get outside and work out.
We don't know that yet. But anyway, K9, hey, man, we had some great guests tonight. I was especially glad to get Bob on. Maybe we can get to some of those events in New York. I especially wanted to go to one of those Ring 8 dinners. There's always a lot of legends and you know, just people that really know boxing. You know, just imagine sitting around the table with Scully and Marvin Hagler and you know, some of those great guys from you know, back in the day, man. Like, you know, to me that's part of my bucket list. So K9, why don't you before we get out here, man, why don't you take us to K9's corner right quick?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, in K9's corner, what I want to say, you know, pray for the Mayweather family, man. Make sure you take precaution and be safe out here during these times and get closer to God. Another thing I would like to say is another thing I want to say is, since the music is on, is that, you know, if you can't get to a gym, you know, work out at home. You know, you got these little online, you know, you can actually go on these apps, man, and learn how to box or do some training online. I mean, you can shadow box at home. If you know how to shadow box, you could look at one of my little pages, my YouTube channel, K9 Boxing, and shadow box, you know what I mean? You can go run. A lot of things you can do at home, you know. Definitely open up that Bible, man, and read that Bible. But you know, stay out the way. Don't do nothing badly to yourself. Don't do nothing to yourself. Period. Don't panic where you know it's gonna, you know, mess you all the way up, man. And it's gonna, you know, just hang in there. That's all I can say. You know, hang in there and do the best for you and your family, man. You know, but try your best not to panic. And you can reach me, K9 Boxing, on social media, Instagram, everything, Facebook, my YouTube channel is K9 Boxing, and JK, Mac, what can they reach y'all at? Mac, what can they reach you at, man, when you ain't, you know what I'm saying, working? JK.
Well, they can reach me on Instagram at MacNGs, MacNGs, MacNGs on Instagram. That's about it. There'll be further notice on that tester, taste tester.
And
right,
JK.
Well, Mac, thank you for always listening and being one of our study listeners. We appreciate Bob Duffy, president of the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, as well as Iris Stephen Glass, the president of Adversary Promotions and Sports Entertainment. And, hey, K-9, as long as we can, we'll keep coming on the air. I'll see you next Tuesday. Plan another show for Sunday. So
hey, JK, you said as long as we can, huh? You think the corona's going to get us online, too?
Hey, look.
They shutting everything down.
Hey, you know, at some time, you know, maybe you never can tell. We got a madman. We got a madman on 100 Pennsylvania Avenue, and we don't know what's happening. You know, so, you know.
Hey, God for us, who could be against us? Nobody.
There you go. But
we're going to be all right. Let's go, baby. We're going to be all right.
That's right. That's right. We're going to be all right. You have a good night, K-9. You have a good night. And,
you too.
Hey, all right,
man.
Our listeners.
JK. Matt.
We hope to see you next week. Have a great night, everyone. Talk to you next week right here on the Dog Pound.
Dog Pound, baby. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.